How is everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of Boys in the Zone. I am your host, EJ Savage. I have a very special guest here tonight, Lord Dilly, big Cowboys content creator, a guy I met through Twitter, actually just scouring the Twitter sphere. And yeah, with that, just go ahead and shout yourself out. Tell the people where you can find you and what you talk about primarily.
Sweet, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. Started years ago as a gaming content creator. Just trying to learn how to do video editing and all that, man. And I evolved over time into my actual passion and the Cowboys. And you can find me youtube.com/LordDilly and at Twitter at Lord Dilly. Cowboys content, man. That's what I'm here for. So it's been a strange off season. So I'm excited to kind of get into that and talk about that some.
Absolutely. Got to shout out my parent network, should I say, In the Grid Network, all those guys over there that help me with my content. And they have a whole host of other stuff. If you like baseball, basketball, anything like that, any other sport, they got UFC over there. So please do search up the Grid Network. That's GRYD Network. And check out some of the shows over there as well. Yeah, you kind of alluded to it a little bit with the off-season changes and letting a lot of our guys walk, which is, you know, typically not what the Cowboys do. Got some comments rolling in here real quick. Shout my guys out. Steven Mack, what up, Cowboys Nation? We got my guy, Engineer Psycho. What's up, EJ? Stop by the best darn sports talk show on YouTube. I'll try and say the whole show, but I'm doing engineering thing right now. And then my guy, Vince, excuse me. Thanks for dropping in, guys. Three of the basically the guys that support me the most on here. So I appreciate all those guys for stopping in. But back to the question though, you know, they hadn't retained, their own guys, which is kind of a model of the past that we've seen a lot. And they let a lot of guys walk out of the building. Just speak on that and your thoughts on kind of this new philosophy of like, hey, we saw such a bad performance in that playoff game against the Packers that we have to have some type of shift. And I know that Jerry alluded to like all in, but I don't think that he meant it quite like the fans probably thought.
Yeah, for
sure. So just talk about that, man.
Yeah, I think the all in was more so we're all in on our guys. Like, we're going to dedicate our resources to re-signing the guys that we've drafted well. We've got CD coming up. We've got Micah coming up. Obviously, Dak is the big one that's kind of looming here. That's taking precedent over everything else, causing all sorts of issues right now with the cap structure on the team. And this offseason's been, it's been wild in the sense that we've lost so many bodies and haven't filled with anything. And I really think what they're doing, my thought is that they are waiting for the period to end where they lose comp picks if they pick up guys on teams. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the exact date when that period ends, but I think they're trying to maximize their cap picks for 2020, their comp picks.
Yep.
For 2025. And then once that period ends, yeah, I think you'll see an influx of a bunch of signings of probably lower to middle tier players just to fill in some bodies. You know, to help with the draft needs and all that. So we'll see. Who knows? But, you know, the Cowboys are definitely a team that like to draft their guys and extend their guys versus going out and spending big in free agency anyway. So that's not really a shock to me.
Yeah. No, I think that you bring up a good theory about the comp picks and that date. I think it's after the draft. I'm almost certain of that. Whenever you sign a player, it doesn't hit that comp pick formula. So we're probably looking at three pretty decent comp picks for the guys that have left thus far. And yeah, if you re-sign those guys with different guys from other teams, you know, you might not get that comp back because you refilled the role that you lost. So after a certain date, like you said, it basically doesn't factor into that. And that's a huge reason why the Cowboys think maybe we can fill those needs in the draft. Then afterwards, whatever we don't get, we'll go and we'll dip back into free agency. And I think right now the problem they're faced with is that they don't have a lot of money to spend, and they're not willing to restructure contracts that we've seen in the past. Like, they restructured Steele last year. They restructured Michael Gallup. Both of those guys have uncertainties with the team. Obviously, Gallup off the team now, but Steele, I mean, if he puts on another season like he did last year, there's no, you know, realistic possibility that he is for sure locked in as your right tackle starting for the next year. So I don't think they're willing to restructure guys anymore. And unless they're big, big parts like a Zach Martin and a Diggs, obviously. And then you factor in just the overall feeling of uncertainty with the coaching staff, with Dak Prescott. They haven't wanted to go give either Mike McCarthy or Dak the big contracts that they kind of deserve, in my opinion. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that a little bit more down the road on that subject. But there's news surrounding over Zeke and the possible return of Zeke. Obviously, he's still technically being paid by the team with the associated dead money. My guy Steven Max is in here. Let's talk about how I can get a custom Zeke 15 jersey on the Pro Shop website. I put out a post on Twitter. I said, if somebody retweets this post and follows me on Twitter and the Cowboys re-sign Zeke before the draft, I will buy somebody a jersey. And nice. I don't see it happening necessarily, but I'm interested to hear what you kind of think and the smoke surrounding that a little bit.
The thing about Zeke, like, we all love Zeke. The character of Zeke is great. I mean, he was good when he was here. The problem was his contract demanded that he plays a certain amount of the percentage, and that really took away from what could have been a great 1-2 combo with Pollard. They waited way too long to start using Pollard in his career. Every offseason, it was, we're going to get him out in routes more often. We're going to get him the ball more often. And it was always just dominated by Zeke because of his contract. And, you know, you talk about the restructures. That's what got them into trouble here in the first place, was all of the restructures. Like you said, they're still paying for Zeke. The Dak restructures are now biting them in the butt. So it's funny to see now with Zeke $6 million they still owe him this season from the cap, that they're now talking about bringing him back. And I'm curious, I'm not sure if you know, what does that do with the cap hit that he currently has? And if they were to re-sign him, does that factor into lowering that cap hit? Or how does that actually work? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I think they're still owing that money.
Right?
Yeah, just from what I understand from that, they still owe him that money, and then plus like a vet minimum on top of that, which would probably be the contract.
Here's the thing with Zeke is that this team needs a running back. Right now, what it looks like in the backfield is terrible. You don't want to go into the draft with such a dire need because you're telegraphing to everybody what you need, and if the players don't fall to you in the right order, you end up reaching. So I'm not necessarily opposed to re-signing Zeke, but man, he's got to be in a very limited role here, I think, and paired up with a solid rookie back, maybe drafted in the third or fourth round.
Yeah. My guy Engineer Psycho kind of brings up a question for us to ponder here. These talks of trading our core draftees concern me. I've never seen this side of the Dallas Cowboys. Where there is smoke, there is fire. And I think that's more just kind of surfacing because of, you know, fans saying, oh, we could get two first rounds for Micah, yada, yada, yada. Where do you feel, if there is a player on the team that you would be willing to let go, but also still, you know, has value to other teams if there is a player on the team currently?
None of our cornerstone guys, I can tell you that. You know, we're not in a hard rebuild. We might be in a soft rebuild. We might be heading towards a hard rebuild. But man, unless you're in dire straits, you're not trading your cornerstone players like Micah, like Zach, like CeeDee Lamb. The Cowboys are a good drafting team, right? But like, are you really going to find another Micah? Are you going to draft two guys that are going to replace Micah's ability? Probably not, man. That guy's a generational talent and on his way already to the Hall of Fame if he keeps it up. So we really want to trade him. And I think the thing with Micah, people don't like, is the podcasting stuff. That's what it comes down to. Every person that I've seen talk about trading him, it's because of his attitude. And I have no problem with it. I love that he had Jordan Love on his show after the season, because it was great to hear Jordan Love say, we saw your linebackers sucked. They were, you know, about 50 pounds too light to be playing linebacker. So yeah, we attacked them, you know, and we all knew it, but it was nice to hear that confirmed by an opponent. So no issues with Micah. As far as a player that I could see us trading that could hold value, I mean, there's not a lot of team players or positions on this team where the Cowboys are super deep. So I don't really see anything that would benefit the Cowboys as far as trading goes. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah. with the Micah and the podcast stuff, I'll say I don't really have a problem with the podcast and bringing people on after the show. What I do have a problem with is like being buddy buddy during the game. Like, I hate that. I think that you got to have the mentality that, no, I'm just going to continue to bury this guy over and over and over and over during the game. After the game, if you want to trade the jerseys, whatever it may be, that's cool. I don't really care. But after you get blown out by the Niners that week five or whatever, and you're trading jerseys and stuff like that, that was a little bit distasteful. But yeah, the podcast stuff doesn't bother me at all. Truthfully, you know, whatever. That guy has aspirations to possibly be, you know, on a show on ESPN later on in life. Good for him. I don't care necessarily what that means for us as fans. And I personally like the sounds of the sideline and the more all access stuff. Like, that stuff's good for us and fans to kind of see and get in the headspace of these players. But yeah, on the field, just don't be buddy buddy, in my opinion. That's where I kind of dislike it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And I think you're onto something there, because the post game stuff with the jersey swaps, like, I don't love it, but like, you know, why can't you guys just send it in the mail to each other or something if you really want it? Why can't you do that in the off season? But like, I get it. And I think us as fans, we feel a certain way. We're passionate, dude. We don't get paid for this. You know, This is a hobby for us, basically, and a passion for us. The players, it's their job. So like, the stuff I've heard from all different internal sources with the Cowboys and stuff, it's that, you know, these guys have a job to do. And if you're on that airplane after the game and you see how these guys are acting, you would be astonished to see how little they care compared to the fans oftentimes. And that's not all teams, but that's some teams for sure. And it's been the Cowboys in the past. I'm not sure about this current group, but I've heard some stories.
Yeah, that falls into line with like one of my draft philosophies of getting guys that want to be a part of your organization and the turning around of your organization. Because like, everybody knows the Cowboys were, you know, legendary in the 90s. You know, they won Super Bowls in the 70s and stuff like that. Like, we all know that. But 2000s era Cowboys, it's not good. 2010s Cowboys era, not good. 2020s, you could say they're good, but they never, you know, got anywhere of real value. Like, we've never made it to an NFC championship game. We never made it to the Super Bowl in the 2020s. So I want the players that are in the draft process, or, you know, even in free agency, that want to be a part of the culture change and the culture shift in this locker room. And when I see players that are just, you know, nonchalant, they don't really care about stuff after the game, it makes me feel like, okay, this person's just here for the game check. And obviously, like, that's a part of it. I understand, get your money. But as fans, we're investing so much of our time into this team. Like, how many podcasts do you listen to of the Cowboys each week? And just looking at stuff, buying jerseys of our favorite players, watching the games. Like, it's so much more than a 3-hour game on Sundays or Mondays or what, you know, whatever it is for us. I just want to see a little bit more want to get better as a team. Not only is just a player that's like, oh, I got my next contract coming up here soon. I got to, you know, it just gets annoying to that respect. But, you know, it is what it is. I got to bring up my guy, Engineer Psycho's point on this. That hard rebuild that you were alluding to earlier, Dylan, is for next year, is what he says, where we have to pay Lamb and Micah. I want both. I just feel like if you're going to rebuild, then you got to get what you can get for them, kind of. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it depends on the valuation on these players. Have they peaked? Are you going to get the most for them right now? Should you sign them to a short contract, 3 years, and maybe you can get more 3 years from now? Is their play more valuable than the draft picks? I think that's all has to be determined, especially if you're going into a rebuild. So we talk about rebuild, and how do we want to classify that? Do you need X amount of positions? Are you weak in 5 areas on the team, 8 areas on the team? You know, how many more starters do you need to be competitive? And I just feel like if they draft well this year, they can avoid a rebuild, especially if some of the guys they drafted last year can step up into these key positions like Mozzie. I don't have a ton of confidence in that specific one, but it depends what Zimmer does with him, with his body weight and how he plans to use him.
He's coming off an injury, but
yeah, Schoonmaker too. Both he and Schoonmaker just had shoulder surgery here in the offseason. That's a big deal.
That's one thing where it gets me to kind of pump my brakes on this season a little bit, because you're talking about Overshown and Diggs both coming off the ACL. You can throw John Stevens in there as well, because you don't know who your tight end two on this team is, really. I mean, Schoonmaker, you want to say that just because of his draft position, but in reality, I don't think that that's locked in. He's tight end two. So you want to see what you have in him. But just overall the injuries, and then, you know, like you alluded to, Schoonmaker and Mozzie both coming off of a shoulder injury. That's a lot of what ifs. And on top of that, they weren't good in their rookie seasons either. So, it's hard to get on, you know, like, oh, we're going to be better. Now I'm a firm believer that Dak is a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's gonna get you wins. So I really think the bottom of the barrel with a healthy Dak Prescott throughout the entire season is at least 8 wins. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what's your bottom number for this team? And if we do hit on this draft, what do you think could be our top out like win total for this season?
Yeah, I have them at 10 wins based on their opponents this year. I could see a scenario where they could go 7 to 8 wins, honestly. It depends on this draft. I think that playing in the NFC East, where the Commanders have, they look like they've gotten better. The Eagles look like they've gotten better. But, I mean, Dak has absolutely dominated the NFC East throughout his career. So there's a bunch of, you know, quote-unquote free wins, hopefully, there. And you look at the other opponents, and nothing really jumped out to me that scared me except for a handful of games. So I had them at 10 wins, but could see scenarios where there could be a little bit less depending on who shows up, second year players and draft picks. You mentioned a little bit earlier too, Overshown. I'm psyched about Overshown. My only concern is that the ACL for sure, because we've seen players, you mentioned Steele as well. He came off of an ACL. He was really good before that ACL, first season back, and you saw a lot of struggles from him. So hopefully he returns to form, but I have the same concern with both Diggs and Overshown. It might take them a full season to get back to what they should be.
Yeah, no, we've had bad luck with the ACLs in you know, this organization. You talk about Steele, you talk about Gallup. Did Pollard tear his ACL, or is just a broken foot?
It was a tibula fracture.
Okay, so that one doesn't count. But
I mean,
just the last two. I mean, you're talking about non-factors and bad play by both of them. I was in the camp of, hey, let's see what we can maybe get for Michael Gallup on the trade block before the season even started, because it's like, oh, we have that feeling maybe he can bounce back. That would be his highest, possible trade value area post ACL was at the beginning of the last season, especially to a team like the Panthers or somebody like that that needed kind of a vet in that room. But obviously, I got called an idiot on Twitter. Now he gets released for nothing, and
he's not even signed to a team yet, I don't think, right? So that's not even a potential comp pick there. And you know, Jerry loves his contracts with guys coming off of injury, because you get a bit of a discount there. So
I don't think you can get a comp pick for releasing a player, though.
You're right. But
beside the point, it's the fact that they elected to pay him off of the ACL. I'll just say this. Every single time the Cowboys have paid somebody not named Dak Prescott off of an injury, it's been bad. Jalen Smith, Michael Gallup, Terrence Steele, all of those guys have been bad.
Because they're discounts, right? Jerry likes his discounted players. It's just what it is. So,
and I mean, we got to figure out the second round type of a thing too.
Same thing.
Stop trying to go after those guys that are hurt in college over and over and over and pray that they magically find some clean bill of health in the NFL. But I wanted to go back to a question a little bit earlier with possibly departing from Micah or Lamb. Where do you see CD as, the echelon of wide receivers in the NFL? And if you see him top 5, top 10, he could possibly have the value that if you do want to depart from Dak Prescott and move on with a younger guy, there's almost no point in keeping CD around. Get the contract or re-up in the draft or something like that and get those picks back from CD. is kind of where I'm thinking, and that's where Engineered Psycho was kind of going. But I want to hear where you see CeeDee Lamb at, and if we don't re-up Dak next season, would you still keep him on the team and sign him to a huge, massive contract, knowing you don't have a quarterback that you feel really good about?
Yeah, so CeeDee probably top five, maybe top three based off of last season. He's definitely on the upward swing big time. And if the Cowboys moved on from Dak next season, here's my thought process. I would still keep CeeDee because I think that you need to have a succession plan. And I think part of that succession plan is surrounding a young quarterback with as much talent as possible. So I understand that quarterback might not be as good as Dak, might take a while to get going and learn the league, learn the NFL, but you want to surround these young guys with as much talent as you possibly can. And that's kind of the point of these rookie quarterback contracts. I know that if Dak leaves, Cowboys are on the hook for an additional 3 years worth of dead cap space and next year being a huge hit. And he's not even here. So that's a problem to consider for sure. But I think you need to surround your young guys, whether that's Trey Lance or somebody else they draft, with as much talent as possible. So yeah, I'd keep CeeDee.
Yeah, and this is going to segue into the Dak contract talk and where we think we're going with Dak, and would you re-up him? What would you do with his contract and where he's projected to get paid?
Yeah, there's a lot of variables going into this. It's not based off of just talent. And I think he is talented. I think he's a Kirk Cousins plus, meaning, you know, a better version of Kirk Cousins. And I think Kirk Cousins can win a Super Bowl in the right situation. He's not a bum. He's not a slouch. I just think that he's just a guy, right, that can win. There's a lot of guys like that in the NFL that can just win. The only two that really elevate their team to a point where, like, who cares what's around them, I think, is Joe Burrow. We saw him do it with a crap offensive line, and Patrick Mahomes does it every single year. So I think everybody else is just a guy that can win in the right scenario, and Dak is that guy. As far as actually re-signing him, man, that's tough because we mentioned just a minute ago these rookie quarterback contracts, and that seems to be the way the league is going. You put a lot of superstars together on the team, then you bring in a young guy on a rookie quarterback deal where you can continue to afford to bring these big names in, surround these young guys with talent. So when you have an expensive quarterback like Dak, you're restricted. You can't really do that as much. You're stuck with the Cowboys' philosophy of drafting and drafting and drafting and never actually bringing in big free agents and then just extending your guys if possible when the time comes. So it's tough to consider, but given their current cap situation, given their current succession situation, which is basically non-existent, I think I would re-sign Dak or extend him, depending on the money. Probably be comfortable around $55 million a year because that keeps him at the same percentage he's been kind of throughout his career as far as the cap percentage.
Yeah, I think that you're talking about the rookie route of a lot of teams kind of feeling like, hey, we can save so much money if we go rookie, and especially if they're first round because we can get that fifth year option, really control our cap space and pay the guys around him to make the quarterback play better. We've seen that with the 49ers. we've kind of seen that with Tua. Obviously, his contract's coming up. A few other teams in the past, Jordan Love, kind of same deal. Of course, they were also paying Aaron Rodgers as well. Or on the flip side of that, you have a really solid foundation on other areas, and then you go and look for the quarterback that's kind of in the market, if fallen out of favor with another team. Talk about Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. Talk about Kirk Cousins with the Falcons now. They have some really nice assets.
Matt Stafford, when he won his Super Bowl, his cap hit was $13 million. Now that's obviously blown up since then, but that year was $13 million, his cap hit. So you can find those guys sometimes.
Yeah. And to the same thought process of the Rams, because they had spent a lot of money on Jared Goff. Like, it's not like they hadn't paid their quarterback previously, and he got them to a Super Bowl. Like, people forget that. He played in a Super Bowl. Jared Goff played in the Super Bowl. And then they said, this isn't good enough. And they trusted their coach, McVay, and said, like, we need a guy that can attack all three levels of the field. And they hedged their bet on a kind of fallen out of favor Matt Stafford, who never really amounted to much. I don't even think he had a single playoff win in Detroit. So, hey, kudos for them for having the balls to go out there and do that. And then it immediately paid dividends. Next season, they make it to the Super Bowl and they win it. Of course, that's aided by, you know, the dropped interception with the 49ers and stuff like that. You can point to all this stuff. I truly am along the side of, like, you don't win a Super Bowl without luck a little bit. You Absolutely. Know, like, there's luck involved 100%. With anything. So you kind of look at the Cowboys like, when are we going to break it? And that's one of the things that I think about with Mike McCarthy is, like, if he's getting us consistently to the playoffs, that's the best way to break that kind of curse, is consistently getting the tournament, you know?
You need to stay competitive, man. I've had that theory. I posted about it. I've put videos out about it. It's my theory is that, and I'm sure it's a popular theory, but you just got to stay competitive. You look at, and I pull the numbers up here. I had a bunch of quarterbacks, but I took five names. It's the first five Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in my brain that popped up. And it was like Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Steve Young as a starter. And there was one other guy, Kurt Warner, right? They had like 63 combined years worth of experience in the NFL, right? One Super Bowl apiece. So five rings altogether. All right. So these are all time greats. Mm-hmm. And they got one ring. They got a one time, meaning they got there consistently. They were competitive just about every single year they were in the league, but they only got that ring one time. So the key, like you just said, is to stay competitive for as long as possible, which is another reason why I'm extending Dak, because he keeps the team competitive. You said it, he amounts to this team to an 8-win floor. And if the team performs, they can get possibly even higher than that, most likely higher than that. We've seen it 3 years in a row now, 12-win teams. I'm not willing to blow everything apart yet by getting rid of Dak and some of these other cornerstone players. Got to stay competitive and hope you get one magical run. You're exactly right.
No, and you know, along with that thought process is you think about the probably top three quarterbacks, the last generations and stuff like that. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Pat Mahomes, probably, right? The top three. Mm-hmm. All of those guys are AFC quarterbacks. So yeah,
that's crazy.
You're thinking, like, maybe the luck for the Cowboys is simply being in the NFC, not having one of those top dogs on your side of the bracket, and just making a little run. Like, lean in your defense. Like, figure something out that slows the game down a little bit more, and it doesn't ask Dak to go out there and run. You have to score, what was it, 45 points the Packers scored on us? Like, something crazy. Like, just keep it within a 24 points, and I feel good about Dak winning a playoff game.
No doubt.
Those are all big factors in winning a Super Bowl, let alone getting to a Super Bowl. Is just the luck of the draw. And I got to admit, thank God we're not on the AFC side where we have to go mm-hmm. through Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because they
truly are, as much as I've kind of hated on them a little bit in the past, because I live in Kansas, so I have to hear a bunch of Chiefs stuff. You know, they are a dynasty. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They just simply are. And that's a good thing that you don't have to go through that team to get where you want to be every single year.
And Mahomes is on his way to goathood, man. I think he's the best quarterback I've ever seen, even better than Tom Brady. Obviously, he's not the GOAT yet. He's got to surpass Brady in a number of items here, including Super Bowl wins. But I think Mahomes is well on his way to being the GOAT, possibly. But going back real quick, you talked about luck. And you think about the Cowboys in the playoffs and the most devastating losses they've had. Yeah, the Romo fumbled snap. You had the Dez drop. You had or catch because it was a catch. You had even in 07. I don't know if you remember the second to last play of the game. Patrick Creighton stops his corner out, which it would have been the game winning touchdown. That was heartbreaking, and that's the year the Giants go on and beat the Patriots. You've got obviously 2016.
And that was when we were the one seed, I believe.
We were the one seed, and we got beat by the Giants, who were hot. They were a hot team, so props to them, man. But
and
like,
I think we beat them both times during the season or something like that. So
We did.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are just an unlucky team, man. Romo was very unlucky between that stuff and the injuries. We've had some bad luck here in the playoffs with Dak and some bad play, too. I'm not going to say it was all bad luck, but just eventually it's going to come around, and I think go for the Cowboys, especially being in the NFC, like you said.
My guy Engineer Cycle says, what kind of team can we build with Dak, CD, Micah, all wanting their bag of cash? Winning teams have players willing to take a discount for the betterment of the team. Yeah, I think that philosophy is false. I think that you look at the Chiefs, they paid Patrick Mahomes, they paid Travis Kelce, they paid Chris Jones now. They paid players in the past. Obviously, they traded Tyreek Hill, but from what he said in interviews, they had a deal lined up already for Tyreek. They were going to pay him. But something fell through or something with the agent happened, and then they shipped him to Miami. So I think realistically, you look at the teams that have won in the past, it's them not paying for the positions that don't matter. So you look at running back, that's a huge one. Don't pay for a running back, because the last, I don't know how many winners of the Super Bowl have only had a running back getting less than $500K. The most by a running back in the past 20 years was $2.3 million or something like that. So, and that's winning the Super Bowl, not playing in it. But still, you look at linebacker, you need good serviceable linebackers, but you don't need to pay them the upper echelon money for your linebackers. And how you get around that is it's kind of the same philosophy of the quarterback. Go into the draft, find one of those guys. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go with the Lions philosophy of taking them super, super duper high in the draft, but find one of those dudes, get him in the building and retain him and make your run with that idea of we have to be physical, hard-nosed when playoff time comes around. That's one of the big things I think about the Cowboys is they're too finessey. And yeah, sure, it's great for the fandom and seeing a bunch of 40 burgers every Sunday. But when it gets to the time of the playoffs, that stuff doesn't work because people are there to absolutely bury you down after down. And it weighs heavy on a player knowing that, man, that they weren't playing me like this earlier in the season. Then they get their head down and they start to show their body language a little bit. And then it just festers into a big snowball effect and you can't get out of it. You can't shake it. You look up at the Jumbotron, it's 17-0. You already lost is what you feel like. So yeah, we've got to figure out a way to, keep the guys that we need in the building, the CeeDee Lambs, the Dak Prescotts. And truthfully, I don't have a problem with the CeeDee Lamb body language stuff because that tells me he cares at least. Like if he was nonchalant over there, like whatever, getting blown out 24-0, I would be way more opposed to that than him over there, like head down, like feeling like, what the heck? Like I couldn't expect this. Like body language allows me to know that you actually are invested, that you care. You know,
that was weird though in that Green Bay game, the very first drive. I don't know what that was because they're butting heads right off the get go.
Here's my philosophy behind that is I think that realistically they saw something on the tape leading that they had a specific drive already built out that they were going to march down the field and score 7 instantly. That's not what happened. And it was specifically probably catered to CeeDee Lamb. Maybe they saw, oh, hey, they play their safeties in this alignment a lot. We can exploit that by this specific route concept. We can stack. We can use some mesh here, et cetera. And so CD was expected, hey, I'm going to get my bulk of the targets really early in the game. Then they're going to adjust, and they're going to try to double me, bracket me, and then Brandon can eat on the other side kind of a thing. And that's just not what happened. Who knows, realistically, outside of the building, nobody. But it's one of those things, man, we got to figure that stuff out and, be prepared, have the mental fortitude to, look, you know, have Dak, if he is such a leader of men, Dak go over there and talk to CD like, hey, yo, listen, it didn't happen like we anticipated, but we're still in the fight. Like that was 2 minutes of this title fight. And we still have all this time left in this game. Let's go back out there. Let's put 7 up and we're right back on the rails. So I just want to see that leadership a little bit more. But did you have anything else to talk about on in that respect?
Wait, yeah, going back a minute here, you talked about positions that matter. And I think that a position that Dallas has undervalued for so long is the defensive interior, like the D tackles. And they obviously invested a first round pick last year for the first time, I think ever, in a D tackle. And it was not good at all. So it makes me think that there's maybe some hesitancy on their side to bring other people in to sign big free agents. Somebody I would have loved to have signed that would have made me feel immensely better about this offseason was DJ Reader. He was anticipated to make like, I don't know, like $20 million a year or something like that. Signed for $13 million on a 2-year deal, I think $13 million a year. So that was a bargain for a guy that could have changed this defense.
Yeah, no, I agree. And yes, like sure, he's at on the age of like 30 plus, but a lot of those good D tackles, honestly, are 30 plus.
It takes forever to develop.
Minus Justin Madubuike, there was no other. I'm thinking like Wilkins, Chris Jones, DJ Reader. gosh, what's his name for the Giants? Lawrence. Yeah, all of those guys were 30 plus. So, and plus, like you said, Reader was coming off the injury, so you could have got him at that discounted price. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that one hurt me because that was a big one that I was kind of clamoring for as well.
It immediately makes your linebackers better. So instead of, you know, your linebackers are going to do so much, and I love the Eric Kendricks signing. That's fine. That's a good signing.
Yeah.
But your D tackles will enhance the play of your linebackers, where I don't think your linebackers necessarily enhance the play of your D tackles. So I think a D tackles is kind of a 2-for-1 position, but I just don't think Jerry and the front office sees it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Love the discussion so far, fellas. Great show. That's Engineered Psycho. Let's go ahead and jump into these would you rather questions real quick. And let me pull up my bookmarks. All right, the first one. If you had the hiring power, would you rather sign Zeke to a 1-year deal or Dalvin Cook? This is with you also drafting a running back in the future, says Stephen Mack. You have to pick this. You have to say, would you rather? There's no, I wouldn't sign either. You have to pick one.
Guess it's going to be Zeke, man. Because, you know, what are we going to do? Zeke has the loyalty here. He was a Cowboy. I mean, just bring Zeke back at that point. I don't want Cook.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you on that one. The next one, would you rather trade Dak and CeeDee this year before the draft or Dak, CeeDee, Micah after this year? This is gearing up for full rebuild. And then Bill Belichick would be in charge after. So, hey, this one's out there. So
that's quite the dream scenario. I'll go one because you're getting rid of less of them, I guess. You got to keep somebody.
I also think that if Bill came in, he wouldn't want to trade Micah because he's such a chess piece.
Absolutely.
And he could use him so.
Here's the thing about Micah, though. Is that, does he want to be that chess piece, or does he want to play DN so he gets paid as a DN? You know what I mean? Does he really want to play linebacker? Does he want to play kind of where's Waldo around the field, or does he want to stick to the left and right side of the D line? And that's really it. That's the question, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, in NFL history, really, with Bill Belichick. So I feel like if anybody can convince Micah of doing that, it would probably be Bill.
You're right.
So I don't know. It's one of those things. If you trade Dak and CeeDee, there's a plenty of money for you to still get paid anyways, Micah. So
somebody's got to take the money.
Yeah. So would you rather stay a Cowboys fan knowing Steven will own this team for at least 20 years or switch your fandom based on a randomly selected team? So you don't even get to pick the other team. They are just randomly selected.
Nah, man, it's in your blood. If you go with that second option, I think that you were never really a true fan to begin with. It's in your blood. Mm. You can't get away from the Cowboys no matter what you try to do. Every year I want to be done with it, but I really don't want to be done with it because it's an addiction. I come back every year to be disappointed again, and I'll just live with it for the rest of my life if that's what it's going to be. It is what it is.
Yeah, no, I hate to agree, but I'm right there with you. Although I would be like intrigued with what team I would get if I did, you know,
my luck,
it would literally be like the Chargers or something, like literally the West Coast Cowboys. But,
anyways. I'd be excited to be a Browns fan these days though, man. That's been a good team for a minute now. I just don't, you know, the quarterback situation was up in the air for a while there, but you know,
They've been Cowboys, like literally they've been good, but not good enough, you know?
Yeah. No doubt.
Would you rather tank this season knowing that you could have Shedeur Sanders next year or win as many games with this team this year, but trade Dak before the trade deadline? If you're 2 games below .500, I don't know if that one really works. I guess I'll rephrase the question. So would you rather tank this season knowing you have Shedeur Sanders or roll out this season not knowing Dak's future for next year? He could completely walk out on you or whatnot.
I mean, I'll roll the dice with Dak. I'll stick with Dak. You know, you can keep building up players and eventually get a quarterback at some point. I think this team, well, I was going to say, I think this team is built to win, but I don't really know about that now with all the depth pieces moving on. Maybe one last hurrah here and see where it goes after that.
Yeah. This one's kind of a fun what if one. Would you rather Brandon Cooks or Amari Cooper? for the team.
Oh, man. I will never forgive this front office for getting rid of Amari Cooper for a bag of chips, dude. Oh, my God. Don't even bring that up. That makes me so sad. He was an elite talent, man, when he left. And they fifth-round pick, I think it was. I mean, just nothing. So, yeah, give me Amari Cooper for old time's sake.
Here's one. Would you rather have Ferguson as your tight end one or trade him for Kyle Pitts? Straight up trade.
I love, well, that was reactionary. That's a good one. But I think I'll stick with Ferg because he's got me excited, and I'm sure there's some home team bias here playing, but he's got me excited for his future. And I love his attitude, man. He's like the FU guy in this team, you know, to stand up when nobody else will. So I love that.
Yeah, no, I'm going with Ferg too. For anybody that's just popping in here, my guy Falcon, got to shout him out. These are not my questions that I made up. These are strictly from Twitter, from people that popped in here. Would you rather keep Tyler Smith at guard or be willing to move him back out to tackle again? Lots of options with this year's draft class.
Yeah, this is a deep draft class. I know that. So with that in mind, I don't like to play musical chairs with offensive linemen, whether it's injuries or whatever it might be. We know he's a really good left guard, so let's keep him at left guard. We really need a center, I think. But if we can get a decent center, now we'll see what they do with Bass and Hoffman, but I think Bass might have a future at center if they want to try that. He's got a nasty attitude, which we need desperately in the middle there. But I'd keep Tyler at left guard for sure.
Yeah, I'd keep Tyler at guard unless J.C. Latham falls, and then I would be willing to take him, move him to guard, and then move Tyler Smith to tackle. Just because I really think that'd be a powerful one too, out there on the left side. Okay, last one here. Would you rather have Deion Sanders, Tony Romo, or Mike McCarthy as your head coach after this season?
I'll show you something. This is my Romo helmet. So with that in mind, Romo's my favorite Cowboys player of all time. Give me Romo all day. Although I think I would rather make him the DC over anything else because he is such a mastermind. I think he would be fantastic at diagnosing and scheming things up.
Oh, actually, I do have one more. That's funny, though, that you say Romo's your favorite all time because he's my favorite all time. He was the guy that got me back into really just paying attention to them more as a kid. Cause I remember those dreadful years as a Cowboys fan, as a little kid with my dad. And, before we had Romo, it was dreadful. I'll tell you.
Yeah. I'm 32, man. So I don't know anything else other than Romo and Dak. Basically, you know, I went through those years with some of those other guys, Testaverde and some of the Bledsoes and those guys, but, Quincy Carter, but yeah, man, it's Romo for sure. Romo's my favorite as well.
There you go. You got a new follower, sir. He says he likes Lord Diddley. Would you rather have a running back room of Zeke, Rico, and Deuce Vaughn? Oh, and Jonathan Brooks, sorry. Or Cooks, Rico, Vaughn, and Braylon Allen?
No, we'll go with the first one. And name them all again, the first one.
First one would be Zeke brought back, Rico, Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, and then drafting Jonathan Brooks. Or Dalvin Cook, Rico, Vaughn, and Braylon Allen, which is the West Wisconsin running back.
I just don't want Cook. I'm going with the Zeke one. And speaking of Deuce Vaughn, like, what was the point in drafting him? The Cowboys, this is their third.
To make his dad feel happy.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it worked for that one day. But this team, for the last three OCs, they don't know how to use these like gadgety type players. Like we see it with Turpin. We see it with Vaughn now. They just don't get any playing time on offense. And especially the Turpin one really kind of upsets me because he is such a weapon with that speed. But even Vaughn too. I mean, I'd love to see a little bit of Vaughn in the game just here and there sprinkled in, see what he has.
Yeah. I lied. There is one more question. I just want to throw this in there because it's not even Cowboys related. Would you rather Texas edition Chevy truck, so Silverado, or are you a Ram Longhorn edition kind of guy? Ram or Chevy here?
I go Chevy.
Okay. Are you allegiant to Ford or anything else? Or
No, man, I drive a minivan. Okay. I got three kids. All right. So I got nothing there. But I was looking at Chevys before we had the surprise on the last one there. So Chevy, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I used to work at a Chevy dealership as well. So I definitely like the Silverados way more than when the Rams came in on a trade-in and stuff like that. Yeah, I probably would go Chevy as well. Anyways, let's drop into the 30 visits of the Cowboys. This is the list of names that are confirmed 30 visits for the Cowboys. So we got Talisi Fuanga, offensive tackle, Oregon State, and that was from Nick Harris. We got Byron Murphy, Texas, defensive tackle, Troy Fatanu, Washington, offensive tackle slash guard, depending on what you want to, where you want to use him at. Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon. Graham Barton, the tackle, center, whatever you want to use him at, out of Duke. Darius Robinson, the D end out of Missouri. He can also play a little bit of, you know, interior defensive tackle on some snaps. Kingsley Suamatai, offensive tackle out of BYU. Edrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M. Peyton Wilson, the linebacker out of North Carolina State. Junior Colson, linebacker out of Michigan. We got Trey Benson, Florida State running back. Jonathan Brooks, the Texas running back. Malachi Corley, the wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. Braylon Allen, the wide, running back out of Wisconsin. Bucky Irving, running back out of Oregon. Matt Goncalves, offensive tackle, Pitt. Trayvon Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. Jordan McGee, linebacker out of Temple. Rashi Ali, running back out of Marshall. And Nathaniel Watson, linebacker out of Mississippi. With seeing some of those names, it's pretty evident the Cowboys are looking heavily into running back, linebacker, and offensive line. That's no surprise to anybody, but I am curious to see what you think is the most important position. You have to get this in the draft. What would it be for you, Dylan?
There's a few needs, man. So the biggest needs are linebacker, defensive tackle, running back, and a few positions on the offensive line. I would love to see Powers Johnson at center. And I think if we can snag him in the first round, I think that'll set us up for potentially a successful rest of the draft. And I know that we're being linked to what's the D tackle out of Texas? There's a Sweat.
Yeah.
We're being linked to Sweat as well in the second round. I'm seeing that in a lot of mock drafts. So that would be a great first two rounds. That would make me feel immensely better about the potential of this season.
Mm. So you actually think that center is your number one position that you think we have to get?
I'm trying to think of where we're picking and who's going to be available potentially. And I think that Powers will be, I think he'll, there's a chance he'll be there. And if he is, I think we have to jump on that for sure. Mm. Because if we have a powerful guy between two all pros, we can run the ball and it doesn't matter as much who we have at running back at that point. Especially we saw last year, AB gap runs were like our specialty. That's all we did for like 1 yard a pop. So if we can get a powerful three in the middle and just keep running AB all day and it works, that's fine. But we got to get some power in the middle.
Oh gosh. You're preaching to the choir here with that that one. Yeah, we needed more outside runs, let me tell you. But anyways, yeah, you know, thinking about the division rivals and stuff like that that you're going up against, they more so have big defensive tackles. So building that middle with Tyler Smith, Jackson Powers Johnson, if that is your pick, and then Zach Martin, that's a good thing. And then especially with the West Coast offense, it allows your quarterback to step up, get in rhythm, rip those throws. Not having that pocket collapse from the middle is a big, big thing. So, yeah, I like where you're going right there with JPJ. Ultimately, I think that they're probably going to go tackle in the first round, but I just think that's simply because the center position stretches a little bit more into the later rounds. But, yeah, I think that my guy Falcon here, he's saying linebacker is number one in my opinion. He says the hard part of this question is, there isn't a linebacker with the top pick, but if JPJ is there, go get him. Biggest need is linebacker. To me, though, we only have two. We have Clark, we have Overshown, and then we also have Kendricks that we signed as well. So technically three, but, you know, and also what are you doing with Bell? Are you going to leave him there as well? So all questions. Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like if we can grab a defensive tackle, that will enhance the play of those three linebackers to a point where our only concern at that point is injury and depth. So I'm okay taking a linebacker later on down the road, as long as we can snag a defensive tackle early enough, which is kind of upsets me, is why I wanted a D tackle so bad in free agency, because that would have freed us up in the draft to go after somebody at a position that doesn't take as long to develop, maybe a linebacker or something along those lines. I'm also seeing a lot of receivers too, and people are wanting to draft receivers. I really think it's time we'll see the season for Jalen Tolbert to step up as the number three. I think the Cowboys are going to go that route too with him versus drafting receiver high, unless somebody falls. You never know who could fall the draft. But I think that's their plan. They have their top three set.
All right. Do we want to do a 4-round mock draft or a 5?
Oh man, doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do. You know, I don't follow a ton of these guys until post draft, because there's a lot of scouting to do. So once the Cowboys draft their guys, I jump right in and do a ton of scouting. But I'm cool, man. Whatever you want to do.
No worries. Falcon says, let's do them all. you know what? You know what? I'm a man of the people. Let's do them all.
Let's
go 7 rounds. Put this up to the middle. Here for positional value. I'll put that middle draft need randomness. Okay. Let's do 7 rounds. And I'm nowhere near 7 rounds deep in my analysis of most of these guys. But we're going to do it anyways. So Jackson Powers Johnson is there. We also got some corners. Nate Wiggins ran a 4.240. Very light, slender cornerback. But, you know, he's tall. He's lengthy. He has the ability to add size later. Kool-Aid McKinstry. You know, first team all name, in the draft, of course. But yeah, he's a guy to watch, honestly, because he really does fit the, Mike Zimmer defense, can play press man heavily. Tyler Newbin would be interesting, although I don't really feel like safety is a huge need. Brian Thomas down here, super interesting. Adonai Mitchell, and Peyton Wilson. I don't have a first round grade on Peyton Wilson, but, you know, I don't know. Anybody sticking out here? Of course,
the center.
Your guy right there, Jackson Powers Johnson, is there. The only other really tackle is Tyler Guyton. Of course, Graham Barton, unfortunately, went a pick before. Amarius Mims as well. J.C. Latham. So the last 4 picks, 3 of them were offensive tackles. So that hurts a little bit. And truthfully, just being honest, seeing where we're at right now, I might be willing to trade back. But if you feel so heavily to go Jackson Powers Johnson, let's go ahead and get him.
Just feel like that's the difference, that if we had a dominant center last year, I think our offense is immensely different, immensely more powerful. And I think Pollard was successful at that point, but we didn't have anything in the middle, so it is what it is.
We've got Tampa Bay that's willing to, we could drop 2 picks.
That's a cool tool.
With Tampa Bay. And I think that they're eyeing the center, but, you know, who knows? We'll see. But maybe we could fleece them and get a 4th-round pick.
I mean, I don't know how this this tool is going to work with this. I think in real life, I think they trade with you to take that center, would be my guess. I don't know though.
I'm good going if you want to.
Well, we can roll the dice and trade back. I'm interested to see what happens here.
All right, we're gonna see. Oh, trade not accepted. They don't want to do that. let's give them. We'll throw in 244 for you guys. Okay, there you go. Pick accepted. Okay. Resume draft. Oh, we got our guy still. Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry go off the board. Apparently they wanted to jump the Packers to go ahead and get their preferred corner. So yeah, we're good, and we're gonna go ahead and get JPJ. Welcome to the team, buddy. And here we are. Chris Jenkins, another guy that's been linked to the Cowboys, another Michigan defensive tackle. So, you know, do what you may right there. Keon Coleman is a name that a lot of people have been, you know, projecting to the Cowboys. You got Kieran Amagaji, the Yale tackle. We need tackle help. That would be interesting. Edrin Cooper, my top linebacker in the class. Xavier Leggett, which is another interesting wide receiver. Junior Colson, Kyrie Jackson, who could be a boundary corner for you, and you kick Bland back inside. That would be interesting.
So Jonathan how do you, Brooks, what do you think?
He was on that 30 visit list as well. Yeah. So
what do you think about Asim Richards at tackle? What are your thoughts on that? Too big of a gamble?
Yeah. So Asim Richards, and this is dating back to the draft show last year. They brought in scouts into the draft room, or not the draft room, but the draft show room. And they interviewed the specific scouts, and they talked about the Asim Richards pick. And they specifically brought up Mike McCarthy has an idea of bringing tackles in athletic tackles that don't have quite the length inside to guard. And so I think that's where they're probably projecting him to be at. But he just had to gain more size and just get understood with meeting, the defender a lot sooner. Versus, tackle, you're really trying to get out on your kick steps and gain that grass, gain that turf, because you don't want them to capture the edge. Versus guard, you're really engaging from the jump. So that's why they talk about the phone booth. You're literally in that every single down. So it's a different game. So I think that was their idea with Asim Richards. I would have loved to see him on the field more. We hardly got to see him. During preseason, he played both guard and tackle, so we don't have any, inclination of whether they liked him better at one spot or the other, if they were testing him out at both. It's unfortunate because I would have loved to see him over Chuma Adoga, but it is what it is. So I think the tackle is kind of staring me right here. But
I see Falcon wants Cooper.
Yeah, Edrin Cooper is another... I mean, he's my top linebacker. I would like that, honestly.
So I have a theory when it comes to the draft. When you are at a certain point, you've got to look at the positions and say, well, this might not be the most urgent need that we have. He's the best player at that position in the draft that we have graded. It might be worth it to take that leap and pick him. Even though we just talked about it, you kind of have a solid three linebackers. But if you can add a key piece to that, and keep that rotation going. I don't know. That's a consideration too. So that's tough.
Mm. For me, it's like I weigh in positional value too. Tackle is so much higher than linebacker too.
No doubt.
So I'm going to leave it up to the chat and you. So chat, put in who you want between Cooper and Amagaji. If you go with Amagaji, you don't have to spell that out. Just go ahead and say tackle. And we'll see what happens. Which one are you leaning? You're probably leaning Cooper.
I think so. If you can get the best player at a position that we sucked at last year, and some of it was due to injury, but you also have uncertainty with Overshown and his ACL. Clark hasn't developed the way you wanted him to develop so far. Cooper might be a solid pick here. Honestly, I kind of like that.
Yeah, let's go Cooper. I know there's some other tackles, and especially ones we can bring up that 30 list a little bit later down the in the draft, and see where we're at on that as well. So as far as the first two picks, though, man, I feel really good about what we got. We filled two huge positions of need. And Patrick Paul, he is a developmental kind of a guy, but he has good size, good length. Dominic Pooney, I seen he's been projected a little bit more into guard by a lot of different teams, but he has been championed by Duke, which is the big offensive line guy that knows everything about offensive linemen. So interesting with that. Running back, for me, I'm feeling like we should get our running back in like round five, round four, maybe.
I just don't value running backs, honestly. I think if you have a dominant offensive line, running back could take care of itself. We don't have the right running backs in house right now, obviously. You have to have somebody better than what we have. But I think if you can draft a young guy with some potential, I think you can build a decent backfield with a good offensive line.
Okay, so my guy Falcon said drop back and see what you can get The only trade offer on the right now is 122, so that's a pretty big drop off. I'm trying to look for a team that has like a double pick somewhere in here. Let's see. New York Jets. It's not looking like I see much, which is okay. That's all right. We'll just stick and pick. Man, what do I want to do? I really feel like a tackle would be the best utilization of the third round pick.
Probably.
So let's go ahead with Patrick Ball. Draft him. We got a pick literally right up next. Trey Benson unfortunately went off the board. But you know, we're not pigeonholed. Let's figure out what we have at wide receiver. Malik Washington is a guy I really, really like. Jacob Cowing. I haven't even heard of this kid, so I need to go watch him. Tos Washington, Luke McCaffrey, so we can get some brotherly rivalry whenever we go for the Niners. Whittington, just buried down the depth chart. Not a bad pick later on in the rounds. I don't love any of those wide receivers minus Malik, but he's more of a slot guy. Is there any position that you kind of feel we need to...
What are we looking at like D tackle or defensive interior?
Good call. Defensive tackle. Dwayne Carter out of Duke. McKinley Jackson. Both players I'd be interested in. Yeah, those are the main guys. Let me pull back up the Cowboys 30 list and see if any of those guys are on there. We got another linebacker. Let's check out for this Marshall running back. Let's see where he's ranked on here. He's way down here. Oh, man.
Okay, so
we can get him. We can get him and like way down the draft. So that'd be cool. Malachi Corley, unfortunately, already is drafted. Let's see. Linebackers. We can check out these linebackers as well real quick. They only have one defensive tackle on this list, so I kind of feel like the defensive tackle is a good call. Get another big dude in there. Dwayne Carter's more of the three tech, I believe 305, so 6'3", 305. Yeah, not a physical presence, but he's versatile and smart is what they're saying in run and pass. McKinley Jackson, I feel like, is more of the one tech. Yeah, so 325, one gap penetrator. So are we going to go with more of the three tech, try to fill a position of need maybe if we get rid of Osa in the coming seasons if we don't re-sign him, or are we going to try to get that run stuffer one tech?
Well, what the Cowboys, I think, might do is not get the run stuffer because they just drafted Mazi. So are they going to burn more draft capital on that? I would if I'm them, because I don't necessarily trust Mazi's development. But I guess it depends how we're attacking this. What would we do, or what would the Cowboys do? You know,
it's tough. We're at pick 92. We have some trade offers as well. Maybe we can drop back and get, you know, pick up some more picks. Let's see, trade offers. New England Patriots, do they have another pick anytime soon? No. Chargers, no. Packers. I feel like I remember the Packers having quite a few picks, but maybe not. Okay. Yeah, screw it. We're just going to pick. I think I would probably go with a guy that can fit with Mazi, and so that would be Dwayne Carter. Plus, it allows Osa, who's had some problems with, you know, staying consistent throughout the whole season. It seems like he jumps off the screen early on in the season, but can't contain it throughout the entirety of the season. So, kind of like the Dwayne Carter pick. So let's go ahead and do that. Lock that in. Feel good about this draft so far. We're hitting a lot of needs, and this next pick might be the running back spot. We'll have to see who's on there, but I'm feeling good about it. Dylan Johnson, solid. We can get Frank Gore Jr. if he has any type of career like his dad and plays for forever. Could be a
good
pick.
I like the name. Yeah.
Rasheen Ali, who is a 30 visit guy. Let's see what. Adiza Isaac, where's he at? Yeah, I think he probably got drafted. My guy, EJ, you're dead to me, didn't even get say quorum. I think Mozzie will be fine. We took a guy who specializes in O-line sponge and try to turn him into something else. Then we'll use him. Okay.
Was his weight loss his decision, or was that the team's decision? Because I know these guys are supposed to maintain a certain weight range during the season. So that's interesting that he lost so much, 40 pounds, I think it was.
From what I've heard, that was not something the coaching staff did. I don't quote me on this, but I think I heard that from Brian Broaddus.
Okay. Interesting.
But, you know, never really know. Maybe that's just them, the coaching staff covering themselves from...
I mean, you can't just have guys that just pass right. You got to get somebody who's going to stop the run at some point. And I thought that's what they drafted Mozzie for. So if it was the coach's decision for him to lose all that weight, then that's just ridiculous. If it wasn't, then something went wrong and they need to fix that this season. But now with a shoulder injury and shoulder surgery, that's going to hurt that development even more.
Yeah. I'm looking at a wide receiver or running back here. Which would you lean? We got McCaffrey right there, who's sneaky.
All right, so let me ask you a question, because you know I don't follow these guys as closely until post draft. Is there a smaller route runner, quick kind of guy? Is that a McCaffrey type, or is there somebody else like that within this selection?
McCaffrey's not small, I don't believe. So yeah, 6'2", 185. However, he runs routes pretty well. He's not, you know, to the echelon of Ladd McConkey or anything, who went way, way up in the draft out of Georgia. But he's solid route runner, has, you know, he has strong hands, I think, pretty consistent catching the ball. I didn't think that he had a lot of drops. He's just not the like elite athletic specimen. Like, he's not going to go jump ball over people and stuff like that. He could just be a solid wide receiver. I don't think that he'll ever be a star, in my opinion.
I just, with my third or fourth receiver slot, I want to have somebody who is a smaller, quicker route runner, because obviously we have a good route runner with CD, but he's a bigger guy. And he's going to get a lot of attention. Cooks is a good route runner, but he's more of a straight line speed guy versus a quick route runner type of guy. So I'd like to get somebody who, and you saw Dak shine with Beasley for years, or a couple of years, where you can get somebody small across the middle or run these quick outs. I'd like to see something like that. I don't know if there's any names in here that fit that mold, though.
Earlier there was with Taj Washington out of USC. I think that he fit that mold. He would have been a really nice pick. I think that Malik Washington, although I wouldn't consider him fast, I would just consider him like very keyed in on, you know, his breaks and stuff. Like, he can you know, lower his sense of gravity and really explode out of things. And I think he has amazing balance. He's built like a little brick house. But yeah, I don't see any of these guys necessarily down here. Anthony Gold, I don't even 5'8", 172, so maybe.
For sure.
But I haven't watched him, and I really don't know him very well. So
so what do you think? Would you draft? What's your thought on the third or fourth receiver slot? What kind of body, what kind of type would you be looking for there? Or just somebody that is good?
With me is, I think that you work with Turpin. You see what he has, if he can develop as a route runner. Obviously, you're expecting a little bit more from Tolbert, which is one of those guys that are you know, pretty good in contested catch situations, can go up over the top, has athleticism, not great at separating. So I'm with you with trying to find a separator. I think Luke McCaffrey can do that, but I wouldn't consider him like small, shifty. Like, he's not a Tank Dell, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like Luke McCaffrey, and then we can come back and maybe pick up that running back out of Marshall.
Yeah, I like the name, so I'm down with that.
Let's do it. And scroll down some. All right. And this is the end of the sixth round, I believe. Okay, so Jace McClellan, out of Alabama, kind of like a high hipped running back, like kind of upright. Don't love him. Jordan Winnington is an intriguing prospect, definitely not small or anything. So this would be your typical X kind of wide receiver. Highly touted recruit, actually, but just was kind of buried in that depth chart at Texas and continued to have injuries. I'm kind of looking at Isaiah Davis is very intriguing, but just because this guy was a 30 visit, I feel like we should go with him. I don't know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, let's roll with him.
This gets tough down the line here, man.
Yeah, dude. Most of these people I don't even know at this point. So, Curtis Jacobs, I do know, though. I liked him a lot more than 236, which is where he's kind of ranked right here.
Is there a position we haven't picked yet that was a need of ours?
We can get it back. We can get Tagovailoa. Tua's brother. I'm trying to think of positions we haven't really hit. So we haven't hit safety. We haven't hit tight end. Obviously, we probably wouldn't. Cornerback. So
I mean, we kind of need. Yeah, I mean, with I'm assuming that Gilmore is going to be gone. So
yeah, edge.
Probably
going to
get a, you know, that's tough.
Khalid Duke. I mean, these guys are probably not. This guy has a decent run grade, though. Kansas State, 6'4", 246. Not too bad. Could be an option. I don't know any of these guys down here, so it's kind of just like dart throw.
None of these names were on the list, huh? Probably.
Nah, no. Nope.
Yeah.
Let's just pick this dude and see what's up. Mainly, it's an exercise of just trying to see what would be there position-wise. And
we're getting an A+, man.
B+. Right. Dwayne Carter, they kind of feel like was a reach. That's okay. Khalid Duke, they feel like was terrible. If I wouldn't have made that pick, I think maybe we would have been in that area of the A+. But no, solid draft, though. I think that you hit need super a lot. Luke McCaffrey's.
Those first three. Nice.
You know. Yeah, I think Patrick Paul, he needs a little bit of time at the next level, but, you know, third round, you can't be nitpicky with the tackle in third round. You just got to bet on the traits and bet on the upside. So I would like that pick personally if it was there in the third round. Those first two picks are just like you feel really good about what they can do stepping in the building, you know, day one as a rookie. Then you pair that with you know what the Joneses always say, like, oh yeah, we also have this guy from last year who didn't get to play. So you add an overshown kind of to this draft as well, you know?
You know, these first two are going to hit. There's certain guys in these drafts that you just know, like without a doubt are going to hit. And these two guys are for sure going to hit. So I love both of those picks.
Yeah. No, I like what this, like what we did honestly in the draft. My guy says, yeah, send it to Jerry.
Yeah.
No, but I like what we did. We filled needs, and that's ultimately what we were wanting to do. So, my guy Falcon, yeah, I still like the one that I DM'd you, which has, you know, some Michigan players on it. He's a Michigan fan. Anyways, guys, if you stopped in here and you're still with us, please do leave a like on the channel. If you are not already, follow Lord Dilly's YouTube channel. This is the first time he's done anything live, so I gotta appreciate this guy for coming on, just chilling with me, chopping it up, talking Cowboys football. And just go ahead and plug yourself as well on Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on here. This is a blast. This is great. So yeah, youtube.com/LordDilly, and then on Twitter at Lord space or Lord_Dilly, one of the two. Sorry. I can't remember which one it is.
You're good.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate any follows I get from here. And this is a blast.
Yeah, for sure, man. If you have not already subscribed to my channel, please do hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Do one of these every single Tuesday night, a new live show. Halfway through the show, my voice started like getting all messed up, but it's
mine
all right.
Too, man. It's crazy.
I don't know what's up, but anyways, yeah, Engineer Psycho says done. He went and subscribed to you, so that is awesome. Anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.
Thanks, sir.